Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes. Oh my goodness.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me is Jansen Mizorek.
Coach Andy, it's good to be back.
Great to be here. What a week of the President's Cup. Mm. I think one of the most insane golf tournaments that I've ever seen or watched or followed or any of that.
Yeah, I normally don't even pay attention to the President's Cup. It's it always seems pretty lopsided, and so it's not even that fun to watch. But this year it caught my attention, that's for sure.
Why?
Well, I think the fact that the U.S. was down by a lot the first couple days, and then they were slowly able to claw back, and then destroy in singles, which was cool. So I think, and then I think also the fact that Tiger was in a unique position, being the captain and playing probably the best golfer in the world right now. He's just playing unbelievable golf. So that was definitely attention grabbing.
Yeah, down 4-1 after day one. Mm-hmm. Kind of an interesting course. The Americans didn't really look like they knew what they were doing, other than Tiger.
Yeah, it was kind of. I think I was listening to another podcast. I'll probably reference to a couple times, but a lot of those players were coming straight from the Hero, right, from Tiger's thing. So the scheduling of that, and some of the finishing up their season before they take off some time for the holidays, they're kind of racing over to Australia, which isn't really an easy place to get to, and so they're a little jet lagged. So I don't think they had probably as much preparation as you needed to for a challenging course like that.
You just think they were tired?
Well, maybe.
Well, how early do you think the Australian or the international team got there?
They live there.
No, they don't.
I'm just kidding.
No one lives there. Yeah, not even the Australians. They live in Florida.
I don't know. I think Ernie is holds the course record there. Ernie Els, the captain. So there's some insight for their team. And then one of their other, Jeff Ogilvy, one of their other captains, lives on the golf course. So I think that is an advantage in itself, that their coaches have, or their captains have, knowledge that we don't have. And I don't think our captains went there scouting out early. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I didn't see Zach Johnson getting on a jet and going over there.
Probably
early,
not. Is that Royal Melbourne, which is a Alistair McKenzie designed golf course, and had a lot of the golf architecture world was pretty excited to watch it there.
It's a masterpiece.
All the stories were that Ernie Els was a very influential in preparing his team to play. There's articles of him saying on this hole you can't hit driver, on this hole you have to hit it to this place, or else I won't play you, things like that. This hole you can't aim at the flag, this hole you can. And from the sound of it, Tiger just let his guys do whatever.
Yeah.
I think they wanted
totally different leadership styles.
Well, it turned out to be a pretty big mistake because they almost lost.
Yeah,
it's maybe by the fourth day they finally figured out how to play the course a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that was pretty apparent.
Whereas International was just ready to be there. It was so firm. Have you ever seen a course play that firm?
The U.S. Open. I mean, that's really about it. I feel unless it's
firm, but even there, it's not firm. It's just long grass.
That's true. I feel the greens are firm though, but but you're right, the fairways are still pretty
Aaron
soft
or something.
Yeah, or maybe the what kind of comes to my mind is St. Andrews. I think it was when Oosthuizen won and the greens were getting crazy fast.
Oh, yeah.
And
they had, or Carnoustie when Molinari won, all brown.
That was pretty burnout. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. So it's not very common that you get to see a golf course play that firm and fast, and but still be playable and manageable. I think the greens were all in 14s, something like that. Crazy.
It's not that hard.
No, whatever.
Hey, if the greens are fast, the putts go straighter. That's all I'll say.
That's true.
Don't want people complaining about fast greens. USA down 4-1 after day one. Down. How much are they down after day two? Down.
I think
6.5 to 3.5 after day two. It's not looking good. Did you pay attention to the Donald Trump impeachment hearings?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, there was a guy, you know, they're in like their, I don't know, the hearing room, whatever, you know, where they're all sitting in like a semicircle.
Sure.
And one of the senators had the president's cup up on his.
Oh, I did see that on Twitter. Yeah.
So everyone was kind of into it.
They weren't paying attention to it either.
You can't blame him. A lot of thoughts about the President's Cup. Were you overall happy with, like, the ending?
Yeah, absolutely. We won. Huge comeback. America, fight back. Hell yeah, let's go.
Okay, it's good we have
fired
a
up.
Warm-blooded Texan on the podcast.
Fired up. I think overall, like, strategy-wise, it's like a little... It kind of concerns me a little bit of how the teams are made and, like, what... You know, like, why don't we pay as much attention to the President's Cup and the process of it? And I almost feel like it should be a practice for the Ryder Cup. But they're two completely different tournaments, and how the teams are kind of made are differently, yeah. Especially from the international side, you know, Europe and then the international team. Like, those two are run completely different between that tournament. But I feel like for the U.S. side, it's pretty similar, and... Some of these guys that just keep getting on the team, you know, I'm pretty convinced that they're just not great match play players.
Ooh, like,
but,
Patrick Reed?
Well, I think Patrick Reed is, like, a really good in singles, but he's not fantastic in group play, you know? I think he's good on his own, which maybe some of the guys on tour would probably agree with. And then, like, even Dustin Johnson, I feel like Dustin Johnson isn't the best match play player. He was missing a bunch of short putts all week. Sure, he bombs it off the tee, but his records never scream to me. Like, I think he went 2-2 this week, which is, like, pretty decent, solid.
Yeah.
But, like, he's one of the top players in the world, and... He's going 2-2.
Yeah, he's not very inspiring.
You would expect more. Yeah, you would expect more from a guy like that. But he kind of just gets on these teams because he's ranked so highly in the world. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what did you do to get there, if that kind of makes sense? I mean, obviously he plays well, but he doesn't play well in that setting. So why is he on the team?
Yeah, so the last team event before this was the Ryder Cup in France, where U.S. got destroyed.
Murdered.
And then they come into this one, and even leading up to it, they just seem so... confident and almost arrogant, like they just thought
we win this by a mile every year.
Yeah, like, you know, it didn't even matter, you know, anything. And then the team, let's see, Tiger Woods, Justin Thomas, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele, fine, Tony Finau, Bryson DeChambeau. Was he a captain's pick? No, Finau was. DeChambeau, I don't know.
DeChambeau was like red hot. You know,
yeah, he hardly played though. He only played in two.
Yeah, he played in like
days.
Two. I really would have thought to see more of him. And then you see Webb Simpson three times.
Yeah. I mean, he's been doing so much weightlifting, so maybe he had to change his schedule.
Maybe
he
needed like a day off, rest day.
A rest? Is that a thing? I don't know. You're into it. Okay. Yeah. A rest day. Okay. Him. Not rooting for him. Patrick Reed cheats in the Bahamas. I mean, I feel like until this week I've been a Patrick Reed defender. Everyone seems to hate him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I remember, I'm like, no one hated Patrick Reed when him and Jordan Spieth were, like, in the Ryder Cup together that, like, awesome year.
True.
You know, and ended up with Reed against Rory in singles, you know, at Hazeltine last time they won. It was
he was Captain America.
Yeah, it was, like, so fun. Everyone loved him then. But then since then, like, the narrative has flipped, and everyone's like, I hate that guy. He cheated in college. Well, it's like, well, we knew he cheated in college when you were cheering for him last week. So, like, why... you going back and forth on this? But then when he cheats in the Bahamas, like, obviously, like,
shoveling sand.
Shovels, and he did it twice. Like, it's not like he did it once on accident.
Like, dude, come on.
Yeah. And then his response to it, like, had just no self-awareness that, like, he was someone known for cheating throughout his career.
Yeah, no ownership of his actions whatsoever.
Yeah.
Blaming the camera angles, blaming the bunk. Yeah. You know, it's like, dude.
So you got that guy who's on the team as a captain's pick, paired with Webb Simpson. Like, Who wants that team to win? Not me. Gary Woodland, Dustin Johnson. Whatever. I guess they're there.
I love the young guys. I love Shoffley. I love Cantley.
Yeah.
Those guys are studs. But
the internet, I mean, after day one, I had 2 feet firmly planted on the international bandwagon. I mean, we're all immigrants anyway, aren't we?
I guess so.
I mean, isn't that more inspiring? Like a team of in today's world where all the other countries are coming together under one, you know, one flag.
That's true.
Where it's just us.
It's a nice way to look at it.
Cheaters and, you know, whatever. Whoever
cheaters
else.
And yeah, subpar yeah. golfers.
Yeah. Joaquin Niemann, working with Stan Utley. How can you not root for him?
It's 19-20.
Like Sung J-M, who my wife said looks like a marshmallow. In an endearing way. Like, he does. Like, he really does. Cool. He's 21. He 21? Killed it. Yeah, he's really good. Yeah, he was on the web.com tour 2 years ago. And so...
Really?
Yeah. Ben Ahn, Adam Scott.
I like Ben Ahn.
Adam Scott, you know, Lululemon. He wears Lululemon pants, even though he's sponsored by Uniqlo. So we're a big fan of him. CT Pan, don't really have an opinion on. Abraham Anser.
Cool name.
Cool guy. Abe. Anyway, so those guys were up 4-1 on America. Let's see, Patrick. Should we talk more about Patrick Reed?
Well, should we go into the controversy? Because I think it's the elephant in the room.
Which controversy? There's a lot. His controversy, the fan, when he punched a fan? Or no, his caddy punched a fan?
Well, should we start in the Bahamas?
Okay, take it away.
So if you don't know, if you're a golf fan and probably listening to this, you should know about Patrick Reed shoveling sand from his bunker shot in the Bahamas, and he was caught cheating, as players would say. But he wasn't really ever disciplined for it. He just kind of got a 2-stroke penalty, and Twitter blew up and broke the internet about it, but there was nothing really done about it. There was no statement issued or whatsoever. But as you can imagine, the interwebs have gone crazy. And then I think some of the players are pretty disappointed in it too. And so that was the week before, you know, this week. And so going into a big international event and team event like this, and you got a guy on your team that's got a lot of scrutiny behind him, is makes for some good drama off the course. For sure. But it definitely showed itself on the course, too, you know, in competition with people yelling at his backswing and putting. And then what you were going to bring up, Andy, about his caddy getting involved with, quote unquote, defending him.
Yeah, I guess even before that, he did. Someone yelled, told him to miss a putt. And after the putt went in, he did like a shoveling motion. Yeah. Was that a celebration?
I think it was. I think it was both. I think it was like a celebration of like, hey, dude, I made it. Like, haha, joke's on you. And then it was also, look at me. I don't care what you think. And I'm self-centered.
Yeah. And I can do it.
I'm going to rub it in your face. I can do what I can get away with anything, right? Yeah, I can get away with anything. I don't like that.
You can't. I mean, and then.
And the way he just, like, it was just, it's just annoying, like, how he did it, like, so.
Yeah.
Jerky, and like he did it twice, just like he took 2 practice swings in the bunker to shovel away sand, like just rubbing it in your face. And you're like, dude, why are you trying to get everybody so rowdy?
I don't know. Yeah, and then someone was yelling at him after the round, and his fan punched him or shoved him. And
yeah,
then
I read the caddy
couldn't come back after
that.
Cool, so.
Like the some guy was like, right in Patrick's face, like on the ropes, and said some explicit things, and the caddy jumped off the cart and shoved him.
Well, jumped,
and then got on the cart and drove away.
Cool.
So yeah, that's interesting.
Patrick Reed's last 2 team events, he has a 2-6 record. Both wins were in singles. He, at the Ryder Cup, complained about Jordan Spieth not wanting to play with him. He also, I don't know why people don't talk about this one more. After him and Tiger lost a match in France, claimed that Tiger apologized to him for playing so bad when Patrick Reed would have shot an 82 or worse in that team best ball event.
He takes no ownership for his action. Like,
then he
why
does,
is this guy on a team competition and he can't win with a partner?
And I don't understand why Tiger played him anyway. Like, you don't.
Yeah.
He put them out three matches in a row with Webb, and they lost all three.
Well, that was my one complaint about our strategy was I thought all the pairings were pretty darn good. Like, I love Tiger and JT together. Like, great mm-hmm. chemistry there. And then Tiger needs a little bit of rest, you know, because he's old and getting his – he's not super old, but he's got some injuries. He's got to take care of the body. And so you put Ricky with him, and it's like, oh, those two boys, like, they're bros. So yeah. that's a great combination. You get some of the other young guys, and then you get the two bombers together. You can put Kucher with anybody, and they're going to win. Just about. And
oh yeah, Kucher. We haven't talked about him.
Kucher yeah.
starts
but
the year.
But real quick, like, but why do you put Webb Simpson and Patrick Reed out three times in a row, especially after they go? So you go 0-2. It's like maybe we should switch this pairing up. But Tiger stayed pretty firm with his game plan on that, and it like cost us a point.
Yeah,
I don't agree with that. If you go 0-2, you got to switch that pairing up.
Especially when one of those guys, Webb Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another guy's cheating and getting yelled at, like, after every shot. Why? It doesn't make any sense, Tiger. What is he doing?
Wow. So Kucher?
Oh, yeah, Kucher. He ended up making, like, the winning putt.
Yeah.
Because he, like, stuck it in really close.
Yeah.
I saw someone, like, he hit someone on Twitter said, like, he ended the year, you know, hitting one in stiff. And he started the year by stiffing his caddy after winning that tournament. So
that's come great. First
full circle for him. Yeah, so
yeah, good for him.
That's not a guy you want to root for either.
Oh, that's funny.
Let's see. We'll get to the good stuff, I guess, eventually. But Justin Thomas, I like him.
He love JT.
He made the winning putt with Tiger. Mm-hmm. And before that, Chris was just telling us how Tiger... like, didn't even give him a choice on how to hit the putt. He's just like, aim it here and hit it. And then he yells out, I love me some me afterwards, which is apparently a Terrell Owens quote.
Some T.O., classic T.O.
Yep, which, good. I mean, you should have some, I think everyone should love themselves. Yeah. You, what do you think? Do you agree or disagree?
Absolutely. You have to have confidence in yourself. Maybe not the way Patrick Reed goes about it, but I think the way Justin Thomas does, that's great.
So some people need to love themselves more, others less.
Yes.
But Reed on I guess before we get to Reed's final day, Justin Thomas, when him and Ricky Fowler were together for the first time, mm-hmm. he had like a five, it's like a 4.5 to 5 foot putt for birdie to win the hole.
JT did?
Yeah. He makes it. Mm-hmm. And then he looks at the guys on the other team, and he lays his putter on the ground to demonstrate, like, this was about a putter length. Like, you should have given it to me.
Uh-huh.
But it's like no one in the world was going to give him that putt.
Yeah, it's to win the hole. You got to make it.
You got to make it.
Well, if it was to have the hole, then maybe.
Yeah, but still, maybe. Not for birdie.
But even to have it.
You're not giving. No one's giving you a four-footer for birdie.
No, nobody's going to. You got to make that.
So just since
it was a funny gesture. I think they kind of laughed it off walking. Well, I don't know.
I don't know. It's weird. There's a lot of confusion on this team.
It was like, a weird jab. Yeah. It was a weird jab by JT.
Because it's like to the guys you're playing against. It's not mm-hmm. to anything else. Not to the fans. Like, not like the fan can give you a putt or anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Fans is another topic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What part of it? The paid fans?
Well, that's the one conspiracy. Yeah,
okay,
the conspiracy.
All right, you go first. You go first.
Well, I guess mine kind of ties into like what I heard about the crowds that on the first tee, the group of what looked like the American group of people to cheer off the people off the first tee all had Australian accents.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what's up with that? so that leads into your conspiracy.
Yeah. This is not my conspiracy, other people. I don't know. Good question.
You know?
In like the stands on the first hole, there was a group of Americans and a group of internationals wearing like matching T-shirts and matching hats,
decked out in their
trying
gear.
To look like. But it wasn't like USA golf gear. It was like specific. They like called themselves "We the People," which I think.
Oh, really?
From the Constitution.
Yeah,
Declaration of Independence.
Declaration.
One of the two. But and they all had these shirts that said "We the People," and they looked just kind of phony. I don't know, like they're cheap.
Phony.
Mm. So there's a writer. A golf writer named Shane Ryan, who this is what he said on Twitter. He said, "So The real paranoia trip of day one at the President's Cup started with the fans. Two groups of 25 fans, each sitting in stadium seats behind number one tee, half of them in international yellow, half in American Stars and Stripes, both singing constantly back and forth. They were singing songs and chants.
Yeah, like, Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
What is it? It's not like they do at the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, they do.
They sing the Eye of the Tiger?
Anytime Tiger's on a team, they're singing Eye of the Tiger.
Fair enough, fair enough. All right, he goes on. On the surface, it looked like a decent scene, but something sounded weird from the Americans. Why are they singing with an accent? I asked, and I was not the first. Turns out it's a group of fans for hire called the Fanatics. They're all Aussies, and half of them had been contracted to play Americans. Not sure who paid them or if they were just given good seats or what, but the big hint came when none of the, quote, internationals gave Reed any shit when he came to the tee. So, like, they were paid.
Yeah.
He said I was. So, that's the story of those fans. Then he goes on. He says, I was on a hole on the front nine and saw a group of 15 people all dressed in American gear, but they were totally silent. Obviously not the Fanatics, just waving these American flags decked out in bandanas and coats and scarves. America everywhere. I thought maybe it'd be a good story, so I walked over and asked, did you all fly over together for this? Two or three stared at me, expressionless, absolutely no idea what I was saying, didn't speak English. Folks, what the hell is going on with the American fans here? His final tweet is, normally you can trust me to be the kind of enterprising investigator who refuses to quit until he delivers the true story to the people, but this one unsettles me. A conspiracy that could endanger me if I stick my neck out.
Ooh.
And all of these tweets have since been deleted.
Get out.
I'm dead serious.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
So
I don't like that.
I hope Shane Ryan is okay, first of all.
Yeah, I hope so, too. Don't tweet at him. That might, like, tip whoever's after him off, yeah. You know?
It's just so many. It's like one insane story after another.
I don't know another event that has this many, you know, crazy stories and drama behind the scenes. And
it's got cheating. Lives,
it's got cheating. It's got name calling.
Fighting.
It's out of the country. It's in a unique place.
It's got like mercenaries, like paid for
social media is involved, you know, everything.
Golf.
Tiger. Golf survive. Yeah, I mean,
Alistair McKenzie.
The Kill House.
Firm and fast conditions. So many things. Okay, so going into the final day, USA was down 10-8. Thought they had a pretty good chance in the final day.
Yeah, when they secured that last point to get only two down going to the last day, I felt pretty good about singles. Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. And we've seen the Ryder Cup every year. USA is so bad at alternate shot.
So bad.
It's a really hard
format.
We don't play it.
But we never play it.
We don't practice it. Even best ball we're not great at because it's like, whatever. We don't. And I think it comes down to that Americans just don't like taking turns. Mm-hmm. And we don't like, we just like to do things on our own. We don't want to be with another person. I want all the glory for myself. It's part of our culture.
It is part of
it. And it really shines in these events when we get...
Me.
Yeah. When we get killed in these team events up until the last day. Like, if there was no singles, would we ever win? I don't know.
The Ryder Cup, I mean, we really stunk it up in singles, you know, in the Ryder Cup in France. So... maybe that was just an off year. Normally we do pretty good in singles. It's kind of where we can make up some ground.
Mm-hmm. So Tiger went off first. He beat Abraham Anser. And USA ended up winning 14-16.
That was a nice match. I don't think they have the hole for like the first seven holes. Actually, I think they have the first hole. Mm. And then it was like they didn't have a hole until like number 10. Something like that. Tiger 1-1, Abe 1-1, Tiger 1, Abe, Tiger 8. It's like back and forth. So that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. Patrick Reed, story of the day, destroyed CT Pan.
Poor CT.
He, I guess, you know, whatever. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
No, never got into it.
I was just like, Dragon Lady. Who she like rides the dragons around.
The one with the white hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be a good. She's like been good. She was good the whole season or whatever. And like then
the whole show, and then
the whole show, and then at the end, like she gets really mad. She flips and she burns a whole city down with her dragons.
Wow.
That was Patrick Reed on the last day.
Yeah. Because
he was six up through seven holes over CT Pan. Poor CT. But then it got interesting because he was seven up through six, and then he was only two up.
Holes, right?
He was only two up through 13. So yeah. It was like I was really rooting for CT.
I kind of was too. I saw him like, man, this is like the biggest meltdown. Like,
but he
career's over if he doesn't win that match.
He ended up winning. And America won.
4-2.
Yeah, 4-2. America won. Tiger was super happy. Never seen him so happy.
Very emotional.
Like he really wanted it.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to see Tiger happy like that. He doesn't normally show a lot of emotion. It's kind of nice.
You know, he's had such a tough life, you know.
True. So much money, so much fame.
It's about time he wins something. Then they all go on this bus. I guess they rode to the thing in a bus together, mm-hmm. singing We Are the Champions with all the wives and girlfriends there. But they really emphasize, like, we're the champions of the world. And I was thinking about that.
It's the lyrics of the song.
It is. So you're right. They can't, you know, write a new version of the song. But it's like they play a team event against Europe and lose very often. So it's like we can't beat those guys, so we're going to play another match. But these guys aren't invited. So we're going to play. And then we're going to be really happy that we beat these guys.
And say that we're champions.
And say that we're champions. Exactly.
I see where you're coming from.
Exactly. So if you're from Europe and you saw that, you'd be like, well, actually,
you can't beat us. Of the world.
Yeah.
Because you can't beat Europe.
Exactly. Exactly. So whatever. America won. Hope everyone's happy.
Can we talk more about the course?
Yeah. I want to end, or not end, but like part two is like, what can we learn from, what can like, what could a student learn from this event?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And so you want to start with the course.
Well, I think the course is a huge factor of why it was a great event. I think it was a reason why it was close, because I think the international team, like we kind of were discussing, played better the first 2 days. Maybe that's their preparation. Maybe that's just because they play a bigger variety of golf courses throughout the season. I don't know. There's a whole lot of other factors to it. But I think the whole locations, the conditions of it, the architecture just made for a really exciting venue for a team event like that, which was fantastic. A lot of people saying that it looked a lot like Augusta, but just more rugged. And when you look at the bunkers and how they were shaved by the greens, but then you see some fescue kind of poking out on the sides. Like, they're really well manicured and cut and groomed, you know, but they're rugged where they don't need to be. Where Augusta is very challenging and firm and vast and slopey, but there's not a single blade of grass out of place there.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that rough look and vibe to it, but it still is extremely, it looked a little more handcrafted, if you will,
yeah.
you know, out there in the middle of.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Way, our golf architecture nerd friend, said that's how Augusta was supposed to look.
Yeah, that's right. He did say that. He did say that.
It'd be interesting. Yeah. Alternate reality. But anyway, most weeks on tour, the course looks very similar.
Yes.
Like week to week to week to week.
Very green.
Pretty. The greens aren't too fat, aren't too firm. Like it's easy to hit. If you hit a wedge or an iron, it's going to hold. It's going to spin. You're going to be able to hit it towards flags. All sorts of things. You can hit just driver as far as you can. The people who hit it the farthest seem to win the
more
most.
Often than not.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, part of the tour, the PGA Tour, is like the players have a say into what courses they go to and stuff like that. And so they want something similar week to week. I mean, I guess because it's easier, right? If you have the same thing over and over and over, you can prepare for that and get good at it.
Right. And then you can kind of make a more steady income because you're playing stuff that's basically the same year in, year out, and then you just try and peak at the right time, and then you're good to go. And you don't see guys preparing you know, as much for like a just a normal week on tour than they do for like these major championship venues. You mm-hmm. know, these guys take like a week or two off beforehand. They go there early and go through all this preparation to learn the course and learn the conditions there, because it's such a big deal for that. You know, the U.S. Open, they make it harder. The British Open's a, you know, links style. The President's Cup's always a little crazy with the setup, mm-hmm. and the Ryder Cup too. Just to, you know, some holes are really, really tough and some are risk rewards. So, but yeah, a normal tour event, it's just kind of, like you said, hit it really far and hopefully you make some putts that week and then you're going to win.
Mm-hmm. And so this, with Royal Melbourne being so firm, it actually rewarded accuracy and strategy.
Yeah, strategy.
More than normal. Because most of the time there's not much strategy. It's like, well, you'd say, isn't there always strategy in golf? And like, there is, because you're choosing like 8-iron or 7-iron, but it's just like, generally, hit it as far as you can, you know, chip on, whatever. It's not really, it's almost like robot golf. Whereas here at Royal Melbourne, you had to decide what angle you're going to go. Sometimes it would be better to not hit driver just because of how the hole laid out, because of trouble you could run into. You couldn't always fire at flags, because if you land it next to the hole, it's going to bounce off and go way over the green. So you're always having to land it short, which makes the angle you're coming in from a lot more important.
Or hit it really, really high.
Yeah.
On purpose. Yeah. Challenging all the ball flight. You know, like, what player has all the ball flights? You know, Tiger. You saw, like, yeah, Tiger does, and he played great there. What's it? Neiman. You know, he hits the ball pretty low.
Mm-hmm.
And then that didn't really work out well for him.
No.
You know?
No, but it gave these guys, the international guys who can't hit it as far as the Americans, it like almost made the field more even, sure. Which I thought is one
like
of the reasons.
Tony Finau's probably only hitting like six drivers,
yeah.
You know, when he's out there.
But it's why it made it so interesting and why this type of golf course is so fun, and it'd be cool if there were more events at places like this, is because it gives the people who are smart and accurate and like think their way around the course the same chance as someone who hits it really far. Whereas mostly on the PGA Tour, you just have to hit it far. Doesn't matter anything else. You know, of course, it reminded me of. Spring Valley.
I was about to say it. I just forgot the first word. I knew it was Valley. I've only been to Spring Valley once, so.
Is that true?
Yeah, I've only been there once. So you've been up there quite a few times. It's fantastic.
Yeah, not in the best condition. When it dries out, you got these crazy greens. You really like can't land it next to the hole because it's going to go too far back, and then you have like a impossible putt back down the hole. So what can we learn from this tournament is like, go play different. Don't play the same course every time.
Yeah,
and also that the fancier the course is doesn't necessarily mean it's better.
Right. I agree with that 100%. Like, it doesn't have to be nice conditions or, say, country club to be challenging or be a fun experience to play.
Also, we can learn, don't cheat at golf or ruin your day.
Yeah, don't do that.
It's never worth it.
And maybe practice alternate shot more.
Absolutely.
Takeaway.
At Canal Shores and all of our programs, we do alternate shot. We're getting these kids ready for the President's Cup.
The future train's here.
The future train's here. We're going to be the only, you know, academy that actually does alternate shot.
Yeah. We do alternate shot in the back cave a lot, too, in the winter. There you go.
There you go. Helps, I guess. It doesn't really help for anything except the President's Cup. Well, no, it helps because you have to adapt to new situations, which is something that happens in golf all the time, right?
And you get to experience maybe being in certain situations that you don't normally find yourself in. If you're partnered with somebody that hits the ball really a long way and you don't,
yeah.
Or you just get to see shots that you don't normally hit, especially if you're doing it on a course that you play normally, you know, or have played it on a regular basis. It can be pretty fun.
Yeah, so playing golf in this way could help you get better at like your tournament game.
I think
because it's going to make you more adaptive.
think about it. If you were to do alternate shot with a partner and maybe teed off like early in the morning, like you could zip around and play 18 pretty darn quick. And then you're only hitting half the shots, so you could go play 36.
Come on. Yeah, Muirfield course in Scotland, mm-hmm. where they've had U.S. or British Opens, they like almost only play alternate shot.
Really?
It's like the only game. Wow. It's wild.
That is wild.
I think alternate shot match play.
Do you think that they have like very strict partnerships there? Like if you were... Like, you have your alternate shot partner, and once you have your partner...
Patrick Reed and Webb Simpson?
Yeah, like, they're married.
Dynamic duo. Yeah, could be. I don't know. No idea.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Like, how the leagues work over there.
I mean, probably, you know, some guys who just... We've been playing it together for 50 years.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday. Cool. Well, anything else?
No, it's fun to watch... Always big takeaways from these events. It's fun to get see the whole team environment, and then also just see the world kind of get fired up from a couple dramatic events. You know.
Well, the final thing we can learn, we'll end with this, is Justin Thomas's Terrell Owens. I love me some me. Like everyone, just maybe this holiday season, just reflect on how kind you are to yourself, and don't be afraid to.
You know, love you some you.
Love you, know. You some you. Exactly. All right. Well, Jansen, thanks.
Great recap. Always fun, Andy. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes.